Okay, everyone, thank you for your patience. Ellen, I think I want to try to call the roll now. This is the March 13th, 2024 meeting of the WPFW LSB. I'm going to ask people to, if you can, turn on your camera when replying to the roll call, and also later during the meeting, whenever speaking, if possible, please. Okay, Ellen, let's see who we've got.
Irene? She said she will be a little bit late.
Yeah.
Karen Briggs? She will be a little late also. Vanessa? I saw Vanessa.
Yeah, she's here.
Here, okay. Sarah was, because she's dealing with some health issues, she won't be here. She sent an email.
Right.
Verna?
Present.
Wayne, Bruce? I don't see him. Michael Byfield? Bill Curtis?
The early 19th.
I'm here. Good evening.
Violetta?
Here.
Wanda?
Here.
Sue Goodwin?
Here.
Robert Gordon, I think he said also he won't be here. He sent an email. Wasn't it Robert, Dennis?
Yeah, yes.
Donna Grimes? Oh, no, I think it was Andrew Craig who said he wouldn't be here.
Yeah, Robert might be late. He sent something. He said something.
Okay. Kamal?
Present.
Donna? Arthur Highland?
Present.
Ambrose Lane? Patrick Morrison?
Here.
Tony Leon?
Present.
Mariah?
Present.
Ron Pinchback?
Here.
Minerva? She was
present.
Here. Adele?
Present.
And Dennis?
I am here.
Okay, Karen Briggs, and she said she would be
I'm
late.
Here.
Oh, she's here now?
Okay.
Okay. Irene?
No, I'm not going to be late. I have to leave early, but I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Wayne Bruce, has he come in yet?
No.
Okay. Michael Byfield? Michael Byfield?
I wonder who's
Donna Grimes.
User. Usually that's Michael on a phone.
Is that Michael on the phone?
Thought that was Jerry.
Is that Jerry's number? I don't know. Okay, so Donna Grimes, and I haven't heard anything from Donna.
No. Donna, Wayne, Michael, and Ambrose. Ambrose had asked for the link. I resent him the link.
Okay. And so Michael, you haven't heard anything. He's not there and you haven't heard anything. And Wayne, you haven't heard anything and he's not here.
Right. If Michael
they
or Wayne
come, you'll let me know.
Speak up. Yep. And I'll keep an eye.
Thank you.
All right. Let me see. Seating new delegate. That was last month. Sorry. approval of agenda and minutes. Let me see if I can share the agenda here. Maybe I can, maybe I can't. Okay, any objections to the, for those of you who are not on the board, this is the agenda that was sent out. Anyone, are there any objections from the board to approving this agenda?
Okay, Dennis, I have my hand up. This is Minerva.
Yes.
And I brought this up at the last meeting about the PMB report.
Yeah.
To be moved up, and I see again it's presented as being,
Yeah, you didn't send that as a, I didn't understand that you wanted that to be a permanent correction.
So we need to have it sent as a motion. Is that what you're saying? And I have to ask this. For the past 2 years that I've been on this board, it's always been up. And it's only within the past couple of meetings that it's been moved.
And it's been moved.
So,
it's been moved because of the other business that I want to make sure the public has an opportunity to hear and comment on before 8 o'clock.
And okay.
That has to do with the Mass and the Relocation Committee, having increased activity in the early months of this year.
Okay. And what I'm going to say here is that, it wasn't a problem last year. You can get your other information in as well before 8 o'clock. And I need to question why. And you just made a statement as to why you moved it. But, I think it's very important as well for the community to hear what Pacifica is doing. We had not had that before, but it seems that since this is now being shared with the community that it's been moved down. So I'm going to ask that you put it back in the position where it belongs. And if there needs to be a motion, then I guess one will be written up, but we shouldn't have to do that.
So, all right, two things. First of all, let me ask that if when I sent out the draft agenda, I asked people to get back to me with suggestions or corrections before the final goes out. So I would appreciate that. Second, so is this an objection to approving the minutes as presented now?
And I would have to say that it is. And let me share with you, because of the things that I and others do, we normally don't even get to see this agenda until it's time for the meeting. So, you know, and I wish someone else had brought it up. Or last meeting, the statement would have been made that in order to move this to this area, we need to have a motion. But right. We're not. So, okay. You know, that's my comment, and I'll leave it at that.
I understand we have an objection, so we will call the roll on approving the I see your hand, Ron, and then we're going to call the roll on approving the agenda or not. Go ahead, Ron.
Actually, I got a question for Minerva. Is there a written PMB report? I have not had any. I haven't seen one, and if there is, could you send that to, you know, all of the PMB delegates?
And let me share with you. And I'm sorry, Ron. You're right. There is a written report, and there was a written report for the last meeting. I read it, and that I'm having to go into, I'm having some computer issues, but it was my intention this evening before the meeting started to make sure everyone had a copy of the report, especially those who are directors on the PNB. So yes, there is a written report.
Able to send it.
I see other hands, but we now have to do a roll call. Whatever you have to say is not going to change that. So can we proceed with the roll call so we can get past the agenda, please? Yes is to approve the agenda and no is to not. Ellen?
Okay. Irene, yes or no? Okay. Is she there? She was? Oh, no, that's right. She's not here yet. Okay. Karen Briggs, yes or no?
No.
Vanessa, yes or no?
Yes.
Verna Avery?
Yes. Yes. And yes and yes.
Okay. Okay. Wayne? Michael Byfield? Bill Curtis?
No.
Violetta?
Yes.
Violetta?
Yes.
Wanda?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Excuse me.
Okay. Sue Goodwin? Sue Goodwin? She was there. Is she there?
I don't see her.
Oh, she left. Robert, she's not here. Kamal?
Yes.
Arthur Hyland?
Yes, and you might want to get the date right on that, Dennis. It looked like you had 214 on that draft.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, the one I pulled up on the screen actually was last month's.
Ambrose?
Okay, well, look, I will.
Is Ambrose Lane here? Okay. Nope. Tony Leon?
No.
Mariah?
Yes.
Patrick?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
Adele?
Yes.
Okay, the yeses are 1, 2, 3.
You didn't count me. This is Minerva. You didn't call my name.
Minerva?
No problem.
Sorry. Okay, Minerva?
And mine is a no.
Okay. So the yeses are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And the no's are 1, 2, 3, 4. And Dennis, what do you say?
I say yes.
Okay, so okay, 11 Dennis, yeses. Sure.
Yes.
What?
Excuse me, Chair.
Oh, Wayne is here
yes.
now.
Yes, Wayne.
Okay, Wayne, what do you say?
Yeah, I was in on the vote, but I couldn't be heard. Yes.
Yes, okay. So yes. That's 11, 12.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting us know. Okay, the yeses have it.
Okay, disapproved. Vanessa, your hand is from before. Is it still, if it's still relevant?
Yes. Yes. It's not, yes. So I just wanted to correct the statement that we don't get the agenda until the day of. For years, Helen has been giving the agenda to us from days to at least a week out. So to my knowledge, with, I don't know, some kind of rare exception, we always get the agenda prior to.
The draft agenda always goes out the week, at some point the week before the meeting.
Okay, exactly.
All right. Minerva, and then we have to approve the minutes so that we can actually have a meeting here. Go ahead.
Okay, and let me just say this, and I'm only responding because someone responded to what I stated, and you answered it for me, which was the draft. not the final, and I see the smile and everything, but that's fine. We're going to move forward, mm-hmm. and we'll deal with what needs to be dealt with. Thank you.
And the reason for the draft is for so people have a chance to see it and make suggestions and corrections. That's the idea. Are there any objections to approving the minutes that were distributed? Okay, hearing none, minutes are approved. The next item on the correct agenda for 313 is the general manager report. Jerry, are you here?
Dennis, if I may, I texted Jerry earlier. This is Miyuki. He said he's on the bus right now. As soon as he gets to where he's going, he'll be calling in. He's just running a little behind.
Okay. What I can do, we have the next item after that is the program director's report, which I have in writing. And I can pull that up if you bear with me for a moment. Okay, this is the program director's report, which I have read through. I will go through it quickly. Whirlwind few months, ongoing coverage of Palestinian, Congo, D.C., and Baltimore juvenile crime bills. Since October, many WPFW programmers have done an exemplary job of producing programming on this issue, in addition to our three new shows. Next up, yes.
Excuse me, Chair. It was my understanding that Violetta had agreed to read the program report.
Was that? I thought that was for the town hall. Violetta, were you going to read
that? That was for the town hall.
For the town hall. Okay.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Next up to the mic with Andy Shalal, the Miko Pellet Hour, and Darker Than Blue with Jacqueline Lukman and Sean Blackman, focusing largely on Palestine. A number of other shows, Voices with Vision, To Heal D.C., On the Ground, Jazz Stories, African Deep Thought, Morning Brew Beyond Borders, Sojourner Truth, and others have also done an incredible job highlighting all of these topics. On February 2nd, we celebrated jazz artists with centennial birthdays in 2024. The day was wildly successful with our listeners. This was the theme of that on the that program that passed. The Winter Pledge Drive, we'll be getting more information about that. The drive theme and description are below. Strategic substitutions were made throughout the grid to get as close to goal as possible. The drive garnered $261,117, although as of today, more pledges have been discovered. Development will say more about that. Revolutionary Radio for Revolutionary Times was the theme of the drive. Note on the passing of Reuben Jackson, poet, Ellington scholar, and co-host of Sound of Surprise, transitioned on Sunday, February 16th. Miles Willis is now alternating with Larry Applebaum. While many programmers honored Reuben individually, our annual Jazzoetry Programming Day in celebration of National Poetry Month will officially be in tribute to Reuben, date to be determined. We're also working with the family to live stream and broadcast his memorial service on Sunday, March 24th at the Josephine Butler Center, 2437 15th Street Northwest at 5 p.m. It will include music and poetry. We had a happy 47th birthday in tribute to Dory Ladner on our celebrating our 47th anniversary on February 28th. As you may have heard, Dory Ladner passed on, I believe it was Tuesday, March 11th of this year. And this is from the, these are details from the event that happened, in February. We had a resolution about, programming for the Pride Parade, which the program director has referred to the LGBTQIA collective Inside Out, for further discussions. Upcoming special programming includes, March 14th, quarterly programmers meeting, March 24th, the broadcast of Reuben Jackson Memorial, in April, the Jazzoetry, April 6th and 7th, building fundraising days, more to come on that, relocation. April 13th, the annual NEA Jazz Masters Award broadcast from the Kennedy Center. Willard Jenkins of WPFW among the honorees. April 30th, International Jazz Day. Tony.
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Are you finished with reading the report?
Yes.
I just wanted to know if this report was going to be forwarded to the rest of the board.
Yeah, it will be part of the minutes. Actually,
I think it was emailed already.
I think it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
Within
the last hour or two. It came in late, but you will receive it. Yes.
Wait a minute. I don't understand.
I did email it. This is Ellen. I emailed it to all the, members.
Yes. It was shortly before the meeting.
As soon as I got the okay.
It was about an hour before the meeting.
About an hour before. Okay. Okay then. Thank you.
Yeah. Vanessa?
I just wanted to ask, at whatever time it's appropriate, to do a moment of silence for Dori Ladner.
We did.
You did? When was that?
People were coming in. Yes.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for doing that.
And for Ruben.
I'm sorry. I missed that. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I have, since Vanessa brought that up, that just reminded me, if we can also do a moment of silence for Jim Brown, who was the executive producer of Mind Talk. He recently passed away. I don't know if the board was aware of that.
Okay. So be it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is Jerry in the house yet? If not, then we should go to the development portion. Miyuki, are you there? Reporting for you and Sartorio.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate the time and the attention. You got the quick recap on the drive, on the drive days and on the special day of fundraising. I'm here to ask about two major initiatives that we would really need your support on. As we stand on the threshold of an exciting new chapter, we reach out to you, our cherished community and LSB, with a heartfelt appeal for support in realizing two transformative objectives that promises to redefine our collective future. The Building Fund Campaign. On April 6th and 7th, we proudly launched our Building Fund Campaign during the much-anticipated on-air drive, setting our sights high with an initial goal of $50,000 for the weekend, aiming to reach a milestone of $200,000 in total. This ambitious endeavor seeks not to just lay the foundation of a new building or a building for us to move to, but to erect a beacon of hope and progress. With the majority of funds required by the summer and a decisive exit from 1990 by December, the clock is ticking. Our mission is clear: to identify and secure a perfect location without delay, commencing the build-out process to achieve our dream by December. To bring this vision closer to reality, we are in the process of securing a lockbox, embracing modern technology with the induction of a specific QR code and square card, ensuring that every attendee at our upcoming town hall has an opportunity to contribute seamlessly to this noble cause. Now, this is contingent upon Jerry and I being able to get together with the bank and make sure we have a special restricted bank fund set up. He's working on it, and hopefully it'll be available by Saturday. Alleviating the strain, a more sustainable future for WPFW. And this is all written out if you want a copy of this. Our second objective addresses the pressing need to alleviate the considerable strain placed on our small but dedicated staff, programmers, and valued listeners by our traditional three-week drives. Those intensive fund-driving efforts, while necessary, have taken their toll. In a quest for sustainability and respect for our community's well-being, we are committed to reducing these drives to a more manageable two-week duration. This requires us to set higher goals for the programmers and rally the support of our leadership, you know, listener board to embark on a challenge to raise $75,000. We call upon you, our 24 steadfast supporters, to lead the charge. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to raise at least $1,000 each. And then beyond that, whatever programs we can do together collectively to get to the $75,000. Your role is pivotal and critical in this pivotal moment. Your contributions, whether large or small, signifies more than just financial support. It embodies your faith in the power of community and the shared vision of a brighter, more inclusive future. Together, we can turn these ambitious goals into tangible reality, setting a new standard for what we can achieve as a collective force. In this moment of transformative potential, we ask, will you stand with us? Will you support us not just as an investment in bricks and mortar or reducing operational strain? It's an investment in the heart and soul of our community, ensuring that we continue to thrive, innovate, and inspire for generations to come. We have some ideas about things that we could do to raise some of the funds. The Programs Association has projects also going simultaneously. We're going to do letter solicitations both for the spring drive and the building fund. We're going to start cultivating major donors. We're going to appeal to the district government. We're going to have special station events. We're going to meet, myself, Arthur, and Irene plan to meet soon. Minerva has volunteered to address the past thank you gifts issue. We plan to staff the station with volunteers. A reception is 2 to 3 hours, 2 to 3 times a week. Assistance to help staff and help to update webpage and update our social media. And just so you understand, the reason I was talking earlier about, you know, this ambitious goal is because we can't continue the road that we're on. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. 10 years ago, we had 15,000 supporters. Today, our membership is holding at about 7,000. The reasons are like general, diminished use of radios, alternative platforms. And then this historically WPFW, we have, frequency and the length of our drives are too much. We have had a history of non-fulfillment of thank you gifts, and we haven't been responsive since COVID, really, to individual phone calls and emails. So collectively, trying to turn all these things down, trying to, you know, turn this ship will be an effort that will engage many of us in looking very, very humbly and desperately for your support.
Thank you. And you will you said you have all of that in writing that we can.
Would you like that in writing? I wrote it. Yes. Pretty much was wrote it down. Okay, I can send it to you.
Okay. Actually, send it to Ellen as well, please.
Okie doke.
Thank you so much, Mickey.
Dennis.
Hold on. I see you, Ron. Mr. Tatum, you had your hand up earlier. Is there an issue?
No, that was a legacy hand. Sorry.
Okay, Ron. Ellen, Irene has entered the building. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, how you doing, Mayuki? One of the things that you talked about was the issue of past premiums.
Yes.
Minerva had volunteered to deal with that.
Yes.
Are we still having that issue? I mean, realistically speaking.
Yes.
I really would like to know, because I know we have not been giving out a lot of premiums as of late. So are we still got issues there?
Yes, sir, we do. We're still getting phone calls. I'm still getting phone calls when I'm on the air, and I'm still getting emails about gifts from...
Sure.
Am I allowed to answer?
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead, Mickey. Yes, this is Jerry just trying to also get in.
Yes.
Oh, okay, Jerry. But yes, we still, and Jerry may have a more specifics in terms of numbers. I don't. This is Satari and Annette's lane, what they're trying to do, and I really appreciate Minerva stepping up saying she would handle that portion to take some stuff off their plate. But I don't have a lot of the specifics, Ron, other than knowing that it is an ongoing issue.
And I'd like to speak to this also, because there are systemic issues that we're also dealing with the software. As general manager, one of the tasks that I deal with on a daily basis is taking calls from people who have not had their pledges fulfilled or who have been overcharged by the system. And then undoing that and getting people refunds is kind of difficult. It's not something that we can just turn around and do. We've got to navigate the system to get the pledges correct and to get all the premiums out. So yes, it is an ongoing thing that we deal with on a daily basis at the station. And it is one of the facts of life when you leverage the station with premiums. It's a discussion that was held at a national level, where they're trying to get signal areas away from the use of premiums and to sell the value of the programming, if you will. We've reduced the amount of premiums that we offer, but when we do offer them, we have to fulfill, and it can be problematic because shows, for instance, will offer premiums, sometimes without entering them in the system, and then we've got to go back after the fact
that I believe
and address them.
COVID. She lives right there, like third or fourth floor, right?
Please mute.
Balcony.
Okay, I think that was a different discussion. I can start in. I'm in a quieter environment. I'm still mobile, but I can start in on my report.
Hold on just a second, Jerry. Verna has a question, and then we'll jump to you.
I had a follow-up for Jerry, too, just real brief. So, Jerry, are you saying that the biggest issue regarding our gifts issue is the software, that the software is creating glitches, that it's not for lack of product, it's because we're not... The computer, the software is not functioning properly. Is that the case?
No. That is just one additional element. The main issue is, staffing so that we can manage the premiums and ship everything out, get everything, bag and package everything and ship all the premiums. I would say that is where the main backlog occurs. Sometimes it's an issue of getting items delivered to us. We've changed our methodology on certain things. Certain things are drop shipped. An order is placed and it goes straight to the donor as opposed to coming to the station first. That's what we're trying to manage with all of the premiums, but we're not there yet. Again, it's a staffing issue mostly. And it's hands-on for everybody. Like I said, I take calls all the time. Miyuki is getting calls. Satari gets calls. It's happening all the time. It's very organic, for lack of a better word. So is this a good time for me to maybe start report?
In 1 minute. Verna, go ahead.
Sure. Good evening, Jerry and Miyuki. Miyuki, as we go about on the LSB, strategizing as to how we're going to raise our $75,000, that we've been tasked to raise, is there a certain process that we have to go through, in terms of, creating ideas on how to do this so that it has to all be streamlined and coordinated? And if so, can you let us know what that process is?
I appreciate that, Verna, but I'm throwing down the gauntlet for the LSB. The LSB is a creative group of talented people. I'm looking more, I guess, at this juncture. I don't know if I'm being unreasonable by even saying 75,000. I thought you all would come back and say, we can't do 75 in 2 months, but maybe we could do 35 or something like that. I'm not sure where you all are in terms of, the ability to raise funds. It's something new that we're trying and working collectively with each other to make, to make it possible for us to go back to our audience with a 2-week drive as opposed to a 3-week drive. And so in terms of, streamlining or giving you processes, you all are an extremely creative bunch of people. And in fact, it was partly your success with the LSB show that made me think about it. I mean, collectively, you all were able to raise over $1,100. I don't remember the exact amount, maybe even more on that Friday because you all worked together. You contacted all your friends and your family and the community, and you made sure that all those calls got in, mostly before your show even started. You all did a really good job of getting that together and getting things in play. And then some more of you all made pledges during the show. Most of your pledges stopped, early on because, Jerry, you and I already talked about this, but, Jerry was so excited and you all were so excited. You said, yay, we made goal already at like 12.5. I think you and Jerry and I, because Jerry's a pro and I understand the excitement and everything, but you would have probably made more money if, you weren't so excited. And so I understand that, but I'm just saying I saw a potential for you all to do more, other ways. I mean, that was on air and that was wonderful, but, if we could also, proceed further and do something more in a construct, in whatever manner you want. I don't know what that is, what you want to do. I know individually on the Programmers Association have some ideas that they're doing. We could collaborate and do some things together if you want, but I think LSB as standing, an individual group, is capable of doing something significant. And if it can't be 75, maybe it can be 30, like I said, 35 or even $50,000. But I figure if there's 24 members, that if each person in 2 months could raise at least $1,000 with that family, friends, and maybe you go to stores. I don't know. I mean, we could talk about and try to figure out strategies, but again, I really thought of the LSB as a separate entity capable of doing it on their own.
And let me just say that, I appreciate all of that. And the first step, Verna, is, we collectively have to agree to do it. This is a request that must be answered collectively. So that will come later this evening.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that, Dennis. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say my concern, for example, if we're planning activities and.
We don't do anything until we decide to do it.
Mm-hmm. And what I think I let Dennis know about 2 weeks ago, I was going to make the request so you all could start marinating, think about the ideas, think about the possibility, think whether we could work together and make this work or not. I mean, because I didn't want to just come to a meeting saying I need $75,000 and explain the reason why. I think you understand the reason why. I think you all accept the fact that 3-week drives are just too much. And we have a chance here to try to turn the ship around. And we can do it, but we have to do it together, please.
Yes.
Dennis, Chair.
Yes.
Jerry,
yes,
I'd like to add to Miyuki's report because she brought up some of the factors.
Yeah, and you've got the floor now, Jerry. You go ahead and give your report. Go ahead.
Okay, so Miyuki laid out some of the factors that explain where the ship is right now. One thing that's very important for us to realize is we lost a huge portion of our audience when the station went to low power for a number of years, which is unheard of in the industry. We are now gaining ground. We are regaining our listenership because we're, one, at full power. Two, we've got relevant programming. And three, there's a shift in the listenership. People who called themselves cord cutters before, who stopped paying for cable, went to streaming services, and then now the industry is calling the cord cutters suckers because they're encountering the same cost at subscription streaming sites. So people are starting to come back to radio because everybody is getting sick of paying all these fees. And there is a spike. The industry has noticed that folks are listening to radio a little more, and we should be riding that wave because we were alternative, and being free media, we're the only ones that are out there really offering different content for free. We ask for donations, but there's no subscription fees, and that's what the audiences are looking for on a national level. So we're already there. The other thing that's very important is most boards, to my knowledge, have what they call a give or a get requirement. All board members on most boards are required to come up with some type of funding assistance. And we have none here at WPFW or throughout Pacifica. The boards are sheer governance and don't have any real fiduciary commitment other than the fundraisers, which are very important. And I appreciate the fundraisers that the board does bring to the table, which were somewhat shut down recently because of COVID. Hopefully we'll be going back to some of our events so that we can have some fundraising done by the board and ease the strain on the audience so that perhaps we can reduce the frequency and duration of our pledge drive. Where we stand right now, we are still, unfortunately, living paycheck to paycheck. This last drive, although not successful, was yielded enough to get us out of default. We have paid almost all of our major liabilities. We were in default with our office rent on K Street. That has been paid off in total. That is completely clear. We just recently paid our electric bill. Our electric bill is about roughly $5,000 a month, depending upon the season, because we have full power. We consume more power than probably any other customer that Pepco has in terms of broadcasting, other than maybe AMU. We paid our tower rent. We are out of risk with American University. We made payroll. We made a central services payment. We made payment into health insurance. So our major operational costs have been met. Our most threatening liabilities have been eased. We still have some outstanding payables. At least one is being challenged. So I welcome the efforts, you know, to raise additional funds for, you know, the building, for the relocation. And this is probably the best time for me to reveal all of the progress that has been made by management and engineering. We are part of a pretty robust engineering and broadcast community. Of course, we are on the shared antenna system with American University and other broadcasters that are on the same tower. As such, and this is new to the board, this is not even information that has been given to the relocation committee. And so I hope there are some relocation people who are on this meeting right now. But we have been offered space at WAMU's new facility across the street from the Van Ness campus on upper, I guess that would be the Van Ness neighborhood. It is not in Tenleytown. It is an interesting offer in that they are offering us a fully equipped facility. The build out is already done. Add people, turn it on. Pricing right now is sitting somewhere around $1,200 a month. That is available to WPFW. Mo and I met with the engineers there and had that discussion. Nothing official has been done yet. We will go through standard procedures with the relocation committee and the LSB. And if this is a desirable alternative, we applaud it. There are other resources. There's a future resource at the Reeves Center, which is going to be knocked down, and they're going to build a whole new facility. I have seen the model of the new building, and they are offering WPFW space in the new building. They will not break ground for another 3 years. So this is not something that is relevant to any fundraising right now or any move relocation efforts right now, but it is still lucrative in that they are offering WPFW space in that facility for free. Why would they be doing so? They're doing so because they need Washington DC representation in that building. They currently have clients from out of town. Alvin Ailey Dance Troupe is already booked to be a client in that building. There's another client that is coming in that is also from out of town. They need some Washington representation, and they feel WPFW will be the perfect community representation for a DC government facility at 14th and U. So full disclosure, we're letting you guys know those things are potential options for us at this time. Mm-hmm. One more thing.
Wait, before you move off, Jerry, that, can you remember to provide the address of that Van Ness location in writing, either in the chat or email it to Kamau?
I will email it to Kamau.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I will be okay. In terms of the robust podcast community that we are a part of, Mo and I have been in constant communication with the broadcast engineers at American University. And I'm suggesting that in our chief engineer's absence, you know, should Mo relocate, he's in LA right now, but will be returning, but that we, and Mo is on board with this also, that we contract out American University engineers on call in case something happens at the transmitter. And we don't have Mo Thomas available. We would use, it's very dynamic. One of the remaining broadcast engineers at American University, the name is Andy Gunn. The primary person was named Rob Bertrand, American University. Unfortunately, let him go and he'll be leaving the area. So that's dynamic and day to day how things change. I have been in touch with other people who have been querying me about my availability in leaving WPFW and retiring, but that has the side benefit of them telling me of a lot of engineers that are coming available now and entering the marketplace that can assist WPFW in my absence, because understand, I still do a considerable amount of engineering operational work at the station as needed, and I'm making sure that we have resources available should those needs arise. Those things will be covered. Miyuki has already explained where we're going with this immediate drive that is coming up and what it is for. There are other efforts. There's the town hall meeting that is coming up. That is on the 16th, and I suggested that it be youth oriented because our youth is in serious trouble. And that town hall meetings are typically about community issues, not about station issues. Town hall meetings are not fundraising events. They are usually emergency calls to action by the community for community issues. So that's what we're looking at happening on the 16th, this Saturday. That's about it in terms of my report for immediate station issues. I'm ready for any questions, should anybody have anything for me.
Mr. Pinchback.
Hey Jerry, that sounds like a very interesting opportunity. I, of course, the relocation committee would, you know, we need access to that info, you know, immediately. But also, in your preliminary talks, what kind of time frame are we talking about? Are they offering? And this is the AMU piece. Are they offering us this location, for a certain length of time, or is that open ended? Is that negotiable?
We've been clients with American University for a very long time. At this time, I believe it's open-ended and completely negotiable.
Okay. All right. And one more thing. The space in comparison to what we, to where we are. You have any idea? Can you articulate the space that's available there?
I cannot because the last time I visited that space was about 2 years ago. I can say I think it's on par with our square footage. Not as small as the location that we were previously looking at, but we will get exact figures for you as we drill down on this. Again, this is the first time that I've brought it to your attention. We will get all the details for you and present it to the board in a timely fashion.
All right. Thanks for bringing it to our attention. Thanks.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Jerry. Ron Irvin.
Yes. Thank you, Jerry, for this exciting news that you just shared with us. I can see this as being something that, hopefully we'll be able to move forward with. When we're looking at this, Jerry, and you're talking about gathering information, when you talk about these different engineers, will you be able to share in your write-up a little bit of information for relocation for LSB and whomever, some information about these individuals and which would help in making a decision on how you would work with them? And also this, I said WAMU is what I put down, but is this American University that you're speaking about?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And
okay, so
again, we already have a very powerful and strong relationship with American University. That's where Transmit is located. So it would be an expansion of our involvement with them. Now, there are compromises that some people have seen in the past, politically looking at us maybe being somewhat a little too dependent upon American University. And in the same vein, there could be compromises in the station moving to the Reeves Center. I've already made it clear to the D.C. government that in no way would we be censored in terms of reporting about D.C. government should we be in that building. We would maintain, you know, we would insist on our ability to report on D.C. governance despite being clients in that building. So we're trying not to compromise the integrity of the station, but still get the best possible deal that we can get. And yep. American University at this point looks like the best possible deal that we can get at this time to management. We've got to mull it over with the relocation committee and the board.
Okay. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is I think that there was an idea that was brought forward some months back about looking for different grants and things as it relates to DC. And
yes,
the
important
issue for us was we were out of California. So hopefully this will, we'll also be able to consider that since we would, have, insight by being with American and maybe come up with some type programs that would be even under Pacifica, but still DC oriented because we're looking for younger people, young adults, and we're right in that grouping when we go to that location, if we go. But I think it's a great idea and thank you for all that you do for the station and bringing this to the, board this evening.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Jerry, just a quick question. In your tenure and in the years that you've been working at the radio station, have we ever put in for grants? I'm looking at the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That's another big, where they do grants. Do you have any history of us putting in for grants, being successful or not being successful?
We, by default, were disqualified from most of the grants that were available to, and I should be clear, Pacifica. Corporation for Public Broadcasting provides grants to Pacifica, not specifically to WPFW, although they have some smaller services that we still had a membership with CPB and qualified for. But we were disqualified because we're chartered in California from receiving any of that DC Arts and Humanities grants that exist. And we're talking millions of dollars here. That is a reality that still exists to this day. And I don't know how we get around it. I have suggested to Pacifica leadership that we come up with some type of hybrid concept where we are chartered perhaps both in California and in DC. We clearly service a DC, a DMV audience. That is quite clear. I don't know how we can do that. It has never been pursued. That's something that has to be pursued at the Pacifica level, I would say.
Okay. I also want to, Pat, there was, we just distributed, there was a report from the executive director, that contained information, the latest information about, Pacifica's dealings with, CPB and some recommendations about why Pacifica was found, it did not qualify.
Out of compliance.
Yeah. So there's some detail in that report that came around in an email a couple of days ago. And if you need it again, let me know.
Hey, thank you. No, I'll look at that. We'll just bring this up in, other business that we have, just the search for additional grants, not just, CPB, but really just taking it would give us grants off. If you've ever done grants, you want to run away from it as fast as you can, but they do require a lot of time and the success is low. But once you get in the door, it allows us just to, offset some of our costs if we can do that. But, I'll just suggest something at the rightful time. Thanks. Thanks, Dennis.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions?
There are smaller grants that we've qualified for, and development has managed to secure some smaller grants. So we are somewhat in the pipeline.
Sorry about that. I have a quick, I can't seem to raise my hand.
Okay, Bill.
Jerry, just real quick. Is this a current opportunity, or did I hear you say this is 3 years from now?
Reeves Center is 3 years.
No.
WAMU is current.
Yes, correct. Exactly correct.
That's at 1200.
WAMU is current. I think you're talking about the mailing address for American University, which I believe is 1200 Mass Ave, something like that. That's the mailing address. The station itself, the studio facility for WAMU, is directly across the street from UDC, the Van Ness campus up there.
What's the proposed lease amount?
I believe we had heard a figure of, the initial figure, and this is off the top of engineering's heads, if you will, something like $1,200 a month.
We'll get all that information relayed through relocation. We'll get all the details on that since we're just hearing about it.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry.
That is,
appreciate it.
You're welcome. And that is by far the lowest lease amount that we've encountered in quite some time.
Okay. If there's nothing else, I'd like to get to the Finance Committee report. Mr. Treasurer, are you there?
Chair, I'm here.
Okay.
I got an awkward situation here, so I'm going to turn my camera off.
Okay.
All right. Finance Committee. I did email this report late. Mr. Chair, you, the secretary, and the vice chair have it and can distribute it to the larger, board when you're ready. Okay. Finance Committee consists of myself, as chair, Julie Hewitt, Lou Wolf, Sabu Hakeem, Tony Leon, Eileen Rossin, Kathleen Malloy. We last met on March 11th. That was this Monday at 7 p.m. via Zoom. Our agenda was as follows. We convened our meeting. We approved the agenda. We heard a financial report, from our general manager. We reviewed the February bank transactions and outstanding payables report. We heard a final report on the winter fund drive. We heard an update on the fiscal year 24 budget. We have a schedule now for the date and time of the workshop that the committee is putting on, how to read an income statement. We have a motion tonight from this committee to be heard. We took questions and we adjourned. The information provided by management that we requested, we asked for the cash account balance in our Truist operating account as of 2/29/24, the end of the month, February. We did not receive that balance. We did get a total amount of withdrawals from that account in the month, which was $105,707.57. We received the amount of credits, the total additions to that account in the month, $227,247.68. The United bank account, we asked for the balance as of 2/29/24. That information was not provided. We also asked for the cash balance as of the day of the meeting of the Truist account. That balance, $30,384.21. And the outstanding accounts payable as of 2/29/24, $327,000.62. Some of the transactions for the month of February. The income that came into the station was all listener support. That was the $227,247.68. I'm going to summarize the withdrawals because they consisted of a payroll withdrawal for $59,417. There was some healthcare expenses paid of about $13,500, central services, $2,600. We paid consultants to the tune of $9,963. We had a telephone bill, $4,100. Bank charges of $590. Credit card fees of $296. We had local travel, $1,861. Office expense, $888. Utilities were paid for the month of November and December, $8,632. We had maintenance. There was maintenance called non-technical. There was maintenance technical programming. And there was maintenance technical operations. In total, $2,734. There were premiums that were shipped. Looks like it was a shipping charge, $16.94. There was something called a miscellaneous charge, fraudulent charge, as it's being called, of $294. And then website expenses, programming, $709, totaling $105,707.57. Moving on to the outstanding accounts payable as of 2/29, the Bernstein Companies was due $70,915. There was HVAC costs. Looks like mechanical services on the HVAC. $11,600. Central service fees, there are two. I think this committee understands that. We have, central services that go to the national office. That's the, command center for Pacifica and then the radio archives. 14 months outstanding for the national office at $176,960 and 12 months outstanding for the radio archives, $24,492. We owe American University for December, January, and February for the tower rent $19,679. The Nielsen Data Service, which is currently suspended, $6,960. The Castle System, looks like a yearly charge for security at $1,990. That's the office rental property, $1,156. There's a February Pepco bill that was $8,362. And BMI, which is a annual fee, I believe, $6,861. Again, the outstanding payables at the end of February, $327,062. In the interim, there were some payments made that Jerry May had alluded to earlier. Between the 29th of February and the meeting date, which was Monday, the Bernstein Group was paid $70,915. American University was paid their $19,679. And payroll, which is due to pay this 15th of March on Friday, was paid at $29,355. The committee also scheduled, I'll pause there for any questions on that. Let me pause there before I finish the rest of the report. If there's any questions on the management numbers.
I don't see any.
Okay. Great. The committee has also, an update on the fiscal 24 budget. So we are currently in our, fiscal 24, year. This is the fiscal year 2024. So we're still trying to prepare that budget. The executive director and I met on a Sunday morning and, reviewed a draft budget that she and, her, national business manager prepared. There were a list of questions that were, gleaned from that interaction. A meeting was then subsequently scheduled with, both the general manager and the business manager for the station, that's since been, pushed. Due to an emergency situation that the executive director had. So we're looking to reschedule that. So more to come on the budget. We also had scheduled a how to read an income statement. So I invite any and everybody who would like to understand a little bit deeper how it is that we in this finance world go through and read these financial statements. We're going to have our workshop the first week in April. It's going to be on April 4th. It's a Thursday, 2024 at 7 p.m. And it'll be a PowerPoint presentation held by Zoom. And that invitation will go out after this meeting. We also prepared a motion. I'm not sure, Mr. Chair, if we want to read that motion now or, a new business. I'm not sure what we do there.
Why don't we save that for when we get to the PNB board portion of the meeting?
Excellent. That's our report, from the Finance Committee. Nothing further.
Okay. Mariah.
Thanks, Dennis. And thank you, Kamal, for the report. I just had a quick question again. I think I've asked it about the archives, but it just seems like that's such a significant fee. Can you describe again what those, like the associated fees for the archives are? Is it just the physical storage of them? Is it the transition of digitizing them? It sounds like it's over $100,000. So I'm just wondering what the associated fees with archives are.
Yeah, my understanding is that it's just the maintenance of the archive of recordings that the Pacifica Foundation owns. There is a proposal in a program being put forward to digitize that archives, but this is currently just storage and maintenance.
Okay.
I'm sorry, and each station, signal station, contributes to the radio archives maintenance. So it's a portion of your station income that gets submitted to the radio archives to assist in that maintenance.
Thanks. So over $100,000 is contributed from WPFW alone, and then other stations are also giving a similar amount?
Well, so it's two different portions. The radio archives portion right now is a 12-month period for that, if I'm reading this correctly, is $24,492. The other figure that I read off is for the national office. The national office contribution, also based on each local station's income, supports all of the other kind of centralized activities. We have insurance. There's payroll, a company that we have, so on and so forth. Those kind of costs that are spread throughout the larger Pacifica organization, each station has to contribute to that. That money is then pooled and allocated as such where needed. So there's actually two different central service charges, one for the radio archives, the other for the national office.
Got it. Thank you. Do you know if the national office, since that's the major fee, do they have a transition plan for digitizing by a certain year?
The last I heard was that it's still being kind of worked out. There are some staff at the radio archives that I think we're trying to determine exactly the bandwidth they currently have to maybe start to digitize. And if a company would need to be called in, professional company to be called in to actually handle that. So that's still in the works.
Got it. Thanks, Kamal.
Not a problem.
Other finance questions? All right. You, want to stay in the seat and put on your other hat, Kamal?
Relocation. All right.
Yep.
Not a problem. All right, our relocation committee, since our last meeting, has met on the, well, let me give you the committee members. The relocation committee is myself as chair. We have Addie Stan, Verna Avery Brown, Ron Pinchback, Wayne Bruce, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Sarah Brown, Dennis Williams, Mo Thomas, and Jerry Paris. The last time, in the interim, since we last met as a LSB, we had meetings on the 21st of February, the 28th of February, and the 6th of March. All of these took place via Zoom at 7:30 p.m. We also had two follow-up or interim meetings on the 2nd of March. That was a Saturday morning, and also on the 9th of March, which was also a Saturday. I'll explain further why we had those interims. Since we last met, if you all recall, this committee shared a list of potential properties, with you all that, we intended to go and visit, to determine if they were available and whether or not they were adequate in terms of a space for the station. The members were able to visit the following properties: 5101 Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, 4400 Jennifer Street Northwest, 5028 Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, 1110 Bonifant Street in Silver Spring, Maryland, 1101 15th Street Northwest, and finally 4200 Wisconsin Avenue Northwest. Various members visited. There was a collection. I won't name them all, but, we were able to establish, for those who are interested, a Google Drive. Within this Google Drive, you'll see the videos that were taken, during each site visit. I want to thank, Esther Averam for preparing, those videos for us. The committee was able to, walk through, speak to each of the property management that was there, able to glean as much information as possible, knowing that typically it's broker-to-broker relationships that are done, but we were able to get some information, and there are a couple of properties that have potential for the organization. In the interim, we also put together a email address along with this Google Drive, at which we will also collect and store any information about potential properties, either from the public or from this board or any of your friends and family or anybody else connected with PFW. We'd like to solicit any potential properties that folks may run into. I'll share that in the chat shortly, the email address. If you'd like to see the Google Drive, also shoot me an email at this relocation address, and I'll give you the keys to go and see some of those videos that were taken. We do plan to visit some additional sites. We are still waiting to get organized through our broker on 1023 15th Street Northwest, 1100 17th Street Northwest, 1200 18th Street Northwest, 1133 20th Street Northwest, 655 New York Avenue Northwest, and 1526 New Hampshire Avenue Northwest. The news from tonight is in regards to the potential space offered by American University. So I'm hearing it for the first time, so I don't have any further details on that. And that is the complete report for the relocation committee. I'll open it up to any members who'd like to I'm sorry. Very, very important. Gosh, how could I forget? Our member, and thank you, Addie. Addie put together a lovely PSA that will be airing on the station moving forward, in which we ask our public, our listening community, if they run into anything, any properties that may be available, they may see fit for us to move into, that they share it with us. So thank you, Addie, for taking the time out to put that together. Thank you to everybody on the committee, especially those who took time out in the middle of their day. I know 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, not an easy task, but those who were able to commit and do that, I thank you all so much. That's teamwork makes the dream work. So I'll stop there with any questions.
Thank you. Any relocation questions, Mr. Leon? Go ahead, Tony. I can't hear you. Tony? Tony? I don't know if he's frozen. Is there anyone else? Can you all hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Can I add just one thing real quick?
Yeah.
So one of the other important issues, also is that, the relocation committee, and I mentioned this last, month, has determined to relocate to about $200,000, to move out and move in. And, we've been working closely with, development and station management, to work on a, campaign, to raise those funds. So that's also in the works as well. Okay. I'll say that. Thanks.
Yeah. And that was referred to as the kickoff, the 2-day campaign, first weekend in April, I believe, to kick that off.
That's the initial kickoff. Yeah. We're hoping to raise some, big chunk at that moment. And then, of course, more dollars to follow.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, Tony. You got 5 minutes.
Thank you. Yeah, back to finance. I might have missed this, Kamau. Did you present the motion that we passed?
We're running out of time, so I suggested saving that till after community comment.
Okay, got you. Thank you.
But yeah, it's still on hold. Was there anything else with relocation, since it is 7:55? I don't know if there's anything that you wanted to start with the, if there's 5 minutes worth of mass you want to get in here, Pat, before we go to community comment.
Sure. And then we'll pick up instead of
some headlines and then we'll come back to you.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds good there too. So the, Management Assessment Search Committee met on Monday, March 4th. We've had several meetings prior to this. In attendance was myself, Chair and Vice Chair, Robert Gordon, Minerva Sanders, Irene Adams, who's done a great job just keeping me straight with the minutes and trying to get the agenda out. Verna Avery Brown, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Sue Goodwin, Kamau Harris, Ambrose Lane, and Tony Leone, Ron Pinchback, and Wayne Bruce. What we're trying to do in the agenda at this is to making sure that we have all the information we need to do a very, very thorough search for the next program manager not program manager. What am I saying?
General manager.
General manager. I'd like to go over just a couple things here. First one is the community engagement subcommittee. We have several subcommittees helping us out, trying to make the job a little bit easier. So in this engagement subcommittee, Ambrose, if you wouldn't mind just doing a brief discussion on what the survey is. We sent the survey. They've been working on a survey that we'll be sending out to various people. But with that, Ambrose, you just want to give a brief description of what your subcommittee has been working on, you, Tony, and Robert.
Yes. And Tony, if I say a misstep, please have my back. There was a previous survey was, dispensed and it was dispensed, several years ago. We took a look at that survey. We took a look at the answers that survey, there were answers that were received at that survey. And we thought that the questioning, in the survey was actually very good. We made some adjustments to it. And we basically, changed it slightly, but, you know, brought it up to date and we submitted those as questions for the survey. So our goal was to dispense that survey at the town hall and also make it available online. Survey will have check boxes at the beginning of it so that various entities can check off who they are that is responding to the survey. So whether or not you're a programmer, whether or not you're staff, whether or not you are a donor or, you know, wherever you're coming from in your connection to WPFW, you can check off a box so that we know who is providing the answers that we get. That will be available online. It should be available relatively soon. And so we hope, and the survey questions are centered around what do you want to see in a general manager? You know, what are some qualities? What do you think are some of the important priorities that a general manager should have? It is not a multiple choice set of questions. They are all narrative. And that actually should get a good number of responses. And so we're going to keep the survey open. I think that we had said 2 weeks online. And then we'll close the survey after 2 weeks. And the survey will end up informing how we develop questions for any prospective candidate. And so that's how the survey is going to inform us in terms of the new general manager. Did I capture that, Tony? Just want to make sure that I captured all of that. It will be a 2-week survey.
Excuse me, Yeah, that sounds great. Excuse me. Will there be a PSA that's aired to let people know?
Oh yes, thank you, Dennis. Thank you. We are developing a PSA to let the public know that the survey is available. So right. That will go out over the air on all programming. And so the people that are listening would be able to go to the website and click on a link to be able to get the survey. And so even if they wanted to get the job description of the general manager, that would be available as well. So all of those things would be available for anyone that is listening, and for programmers or anyone else, whether or not they're listening or can go to the website. And now at the town hall, there will be a paper distribution of the survey, and people will be able to answer right then and there. We will collect them at the end of the town hall, and they will become part of the group as we assemble all the rest of the survey from the electronic distribution.
Nice. Thank you.
Thanks, Ambrose. What we'll do is I'll turn it back over to you, Dennis, and okay. We'll pause this committee until you finish your community.
Did I miss anything, Tony? Just want to make sure I got everything.
No, you got everything.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, all three of you. It is 8:01 on my computer, and that means it's time for community comment. So if there are things that folks who are not on the board would like to say, now is the time. Mr. Ramey, I see you are ready to go. So you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It should be noted, some of you might already be aware, Jim Brown, a longtime LSB member, a frequent host of the LSB show, and a senior producer at WPFW for several years, passed about 10 days ago. Also, Dori Lagner has died. She was an ardent and enthusiastic supporter of WPFW and recorded many PSAs for the station, which were frequently broadcast. As a teenager in Mississippi, Ms. Lagner braved gunfire, tear gas, police dogs, and KKK activity in an aggressive campaign for racial equality. The cause of death was respiratory failure, according to her sister Joyce, a constant companion in her activism, and a former interim president at Howard University. For their entire lives, Ms. Lagner and her sister had endured the indignity of life as African Americans in the Jim Crow South, the rides in the back of the bus, the segregated restrooms and drinking fountains, the segregated schools, the secondhand textbooks, etc. On the encouragement of activists including Vernon Donner Sr., a family friend and a local NAA member who would be later killed in a KKK assassination at his home, Ms. Lagner joined the youth chapter of the NAACP in Hattiesburg, Mississippi in 1959. As students at Tougaloo College in Mississippi, Ms. Lagner joined SNCC, and having decided that she could not stand by idly and watch the suffering of Black people throughout the South, she dropped out of college and joined the Civil Rights Movement full-time. At a time when Mississippi was one of the most dangerous places in the South for African Americans and civil rights workers, Ms. Lagner joined and led marches and sit-ins, mounted voter registration drives, and helped organize events, including the 1963 March on Washington. She traveled widely, encouraging Black people around the country to embrace their right to vote. She was 81 years old. Her death was announced a few hours ago. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for that tribute. Martha.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Eric for letting us know what happened to Dori Lagner, as well as Jim Brown. I wanted to speak on the relocation committee report, as well as Jerry's report about the possibility of some locations for WPFW. Question I'd like to ask is, the relocation committee going to work with Jerry?
Yes. Jerry is on the relocation committee.
Oh, okay. All right. So, okay. Hopefully it won't fall through. Whatever we find that's going to be less expensive from what we're paying now, it won't fall through like the Festival Center. Someone had spoken about the decline in membership, although Jerry said that membership is starting to increase. I'd like to let you all know, I'm sure that some of you already know, that The community is concerned about the discord within WPFW, and that is one reason why there is a decline in some membership. Some people have told me that they're not going to they're not going to donate to WPFW until they see that there's more positive energy within WPFW. So that's one reason. And still, the Festival Center situation has not been answered properly, according to me and to what some other people are saying in the community. So I'd like for y'all to just know that it's, people wanted to be investigated and find out just what happened. As far as also about membership decline, when I talked about discord, when you have programs that come on air and say they have issues with the present management, trust me, that doesn't bode well with people in the community. So that needs to be addressed. I believe that's it for me. Just let me know what the community is talking about.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Mr. Hakeem.
Yes, good evening, everybody. How are you? Real quick, and this will be brought up later on with the outreach report. They're putting together a retirement function for Jerry. It's tentatively April the 14th from 3 to 7 at the VIP room, which is located on at 6201 3rd Street.
What's the date again? What's the date?
April the 14th, which is on a Sunday from 3 to 7 p.m. The place holds about 150 people. The outreach committee is working on that. She'll give a little bit more information about it, I guess. It's at 6201 3rd Street, which is between south of Tacoma Park and north of, not sure what that is, Petworth. Or, anyway, it's on 3rd Street. So the outreach committee is working on that. Hopefully it'll be successful and you'll hear more about that. We're going to try to do a PSA, you know, to let people know and they can support it. Have entertainment, along with some other things. So that is happening on April the 14th, tentatively on April the 14th. So you'll hear more about that.
Okay. Will that be mentioned at the town hall Saturday also?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Lovely. Thank you. Mr. Wolf.
I've learned a lot tonight, about our possibilities, in the future, of a new location for the station. I'm very excited by Jerry's, report about the possibility at the site that he mentioned, and I look forward to be able to visit that site if that's possible, if it's all right with the LSB as a community member. I just remind us all that, you know, the fact that if we end up having to pay anything close to $200,000, this could, you know, wipe us out. Based on the budget figures that we heard tonight from Kamau. And our fundraising is never really what it should be or what it used to be when we had the thousands of members that we had. And, I have to point out that we had a chance at a location at the Festival Center, for a fraction of our present budget. Literally 60% less than it is now that we're paying now. And, frankly, I don't understand why that happened and how that happened, but I feel the community deserves to know what happened and what the consequences should be for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments from the community? Marsha.
Hi. I know that we have a search going on soon, and I have not seen the job description yet, but I was very concerned with a couple of evaluations that went out some time ago. So, for program director and for the, station manager, I just hope that whoever's in charge of it this time will take the time to draft some truly objective standards and ensure that they are geared to what the job entails and not tailored toward an individual. That has been a problem before because I actually worked on one of the evaluations and the one that got used was nowhere close to the one that was issued. In fact, I wasn't even offered to fill out the form. So let's please ensure that there's even-handedness, objectivity, transparency, and widespread distribution of any type of instruments that go out, any type of survey or evaluation instruments going forward. Thanks.
Okay. I'll just say as a slight distinction, and I absolutely agree with you, and that we'll be hearing more from Mass about the job description for general manager, and all of that needs to be shared widely. When it comes to specific annual evaluations of personnel, that's something that the LSB at that time decides sort of who gets to actually participate in the evaluation of a continuing staff member. But we're talking about creating descriptions for hiring somebody new. I think that should go to everybody.
Yes, understood. I'm just looking for objectivity in any type of instrument or measurement tool that goes out for any purpose.
Yes.
All right, thanks.
I agree. Yep. Anyone else? Y'all just came to sit and listen to us and you don't want to, don't want your 30 seconds of.
It's the greatest.
Excuse me for jumping in like this, Dennis, but I just got a message from another, listener who says that, they've been trying to get in and they've been in the waiting room on their phone since before the meeting started.
There is no one showing up in the, Mr. Tatum, do you see anyone in the waiting room?
Well, I'm just seeing the text, and it's from about 10 minutes ago. They might have hung up by now. I don't know.
No, I don't see anybody in the waiting room. It could be the wrong phone number.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for asking. Ambrose, this is actually time for the community. Is this an answer to a question? Otherwise, we'll come back to you after community comment.
Yes, I can wait.
Okay. Okay, Martha.
Okay, I understand that Jared is on the relocation committee. I just want to know, are they working together? Because Jared gave a separate report and the relocation committee gave a report. Are they working together?
Yes. The information, as Jerry said, the information that he had, that's brand new. There hasn't been the last relocation committee meeting was last Wednesday. That's come up in the last few days. I don't know if you heard, I asked him to share the address of the property, with the chair of the committee. And that's something that will be, at the top of the agenda for the next meeting, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yes. No, I'm concerned, but yeah, we're all pulling together on this.
I'd like to echo that, Chair, if I may. I was just going to say, I presented that fresh information tonight in the spirit of, you know, cooperation with the entire committee. It is fresh information that Mo and I encountered within less than 2 weeks ago. So it's new information and everybody has it now, and we'll get the details over to you perhaps as soon as tomorrow.
Right.
In terms of square footage and exact addresses.
Yes. And we'll get some folks over there to see it. Anyone else? Going once. Going twice. All right. Thank you all for coming and listening. We will return to our scheduled portion of the program. Ambrose, you're part of the mass anyway, so you can get in here now, and then we'll work back into the mass report.
My comment will be short. I just wanted to respond. Marcia said something, and I just want her to know that from my short experience working with mass and LSB members, in my dealings, I have felt nothing but that everyone has worked with a level of integrity and honesty and forthrightness. And I just wanted to say that. I can't speak to anything that happened in the past, but I can tell you right now that I'm actually very pleased with working with my fellow members of the LSB and MATS committee, because we're forging a different path. And I cannot, spend time, in any other way. And I'm just very, appreciative of my colleagues right now that are on the LSB and on the MASS committee.
Appreciate that, Ambrose. Okay, Pat, back to you.
Okay, just to pick up, we did talk about the community engagement subcommittee. We talked a lot about transparency. We talked a lot about getting this survey out to everybody that we, you know, a list. It's going to be a wide-ranging list. I think that's going to give us a lot of good information to come back and to do that. We'll make sure, Chair, that we get this information to you. That's appropriate to make sure that we have that, that information and doing that. So that subcommittee is working on that. They're just about finished. We have to get that out. We wanted to get that, prepared for the town hall. The next thing that we did that we worked on was the ad and the announcement, vacancy announcement subcommittee. I don't know, Minerva, would you want to give just a brief? I know, Minerva, you and Irene worked on this, but you want to give a brief, just, on that discussion of the ad, because that is ready to go to you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Patrick, I'm sorry, I was away for a moment. But the ad that was put together, there's one. It says paid ad, but it's basically an ad that would go out to LinkedIn and the other search engines out there that would be geared towards looking for radio general managers or someone with background in radio. And I don't have a copy of it in front of me, but if there is someone that has it, it could be shared in the chat for individuals to see. And then the second one is one that will be posted on Pacifica's site and at other stations and through other nonprofit groups, asking if they have individuals or friends who might have an interest in the position of general manager for WPFW. And there is a attached to it a website that has, I mean, an email that's been put in place where people can will be able to go on and see the job description and then also submit their resumes to the MASS committee. So we'll be able to capture those. Is that okay, Pat? Or do you have something else I need to share?
No, that's fine. That just gives an overview
right.
on that. Is there anybody else on the committee? Hold on. We'll try to get that up. Go ahead.
Yeah. And in terms of the ads, if anyone has it, in a version that you can put in the chat for, folks attending the meeting, that would be great. But otherwise, I would like if you could, distribute a copy directly to the board, so everybody has that.
I know we have a committee member, Ron Pinchback, got his hand up.
Yeah. Okay, Ron.
Yeah, because, at the last MASS meeting, we were asked, form a small group to, because there was concern about the ad being PFW centric enough. And so, Verna Avery Brown, Ambrose Lane, and myself were tasked to come up with some language, some changes to the, okay. to the ad that was proposed to okay. make it more PFW centric. However, we need to discuss this with the mass committee before okay. making it public.
Okay.
And so
okay. whenever it's ready, I'm just,
hello?
I'm just trying to,
hello?
Hold on. Yes.
Are we in community comment? Can I be heard?
No, we ended it.
Well, I've been holding, I've been listening to the whole meeting and I couldn't get through. I kept hitting star six to be unmuted.
Let me finish the conversation we're in now, and then I will come back to you and give you an opportunity.
I appreciate it because it's only 8:17 and we're supposed to have, you know, half hour.
I asked several times if anyone had anything to say.
Thank you.
Dennis, I can't raise my hand, but can I get on the stack? I'm on the phone, but I can't raise my hand.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chair. Yes, Ron, let me just say this. I was just saying to, when it's ready. So this is how I want the board to get it so that we don't have to wait another month to see everything.
Understood.
Yeah, do what you all have to do. If it's not ready, to us when it is ready, just so that we can see it and then keep it moving.
Dennis?
Yes, Irene.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ron may be a little confused about the two documents. One is an ad and one is a vacancy announcement.
I'm not confused.
Excuse me?
One at a time.
The ad was voted on by the committee and was accepted. We had a committee already in place for the ad, and we went through it, and we agreed on it. What Berna, Ron, and Ambrose has is the vacancy announcement itself. That is what Pat is inadvertently calls it, the position description. That's what that subcommittee was working on. It's in the minutes.
Whatever, send us whatever you've got when you've got it.
We will do that, Chair. We'll get that there too. So I just wanted to let everybody here know that we are trying to be as inclusive as possible. We want to get all the information, making sure we have the correct ad out there. We'll get that. Irene was correct. We did vote on that, but we have a meeting coming up this Friday, and we'll discuss this and we'll get it out. And the big thing that I think is important for everybody here to know is that job description. The job description is something that if any applicant is going to submit for the job, they really need to know what that job description is. And that job description is what holds them accountable, you know, once they accept that job. But this was in your job description. This is what you have to produce. And we did make some slight changes. So this committee has been working real well. We'll take all of these into account, and then we will get those to you. The last thing on the business side of this and the minutes was just that we had one thing that the PNB director's request. Now this was a strange one, but this is what we decided. But I'll turn it to you, Chair. We had a discussion as whether a PNB director can join these meetings. This was a PNB director that had approached, and I can't remember right now, from our sister station up in New York, basically wanting to come into the mass committee and be a part of that or listen or be that. We were not sure of the intent or the reason, although the individual was well spoken for as far as what people have worked with. This individual said, you know, they do, it's somebody that's not coming in just to disrupt, maybe just to add and to help. But we wanted to be very careful. This committee is, you know, because even other LSB members can't come into that. So we're just trying to find out, and how we left it was, is does a director by the Constitution or California law have the right to come in and do? Dennis, if they do, then we will allow that. But right now we're reserving that until we get more information as to why. Do they have that intent? We're not trying to, we want as much help as far as other information that's happened in the past, but at the same time, we do want to close this circle. We just don't want people just saying, hey, I'm going to come in and I'm going to sit at that. So we're a little bit, we're in that. So I'm going to turn that over to you, Dennis. I just wanted to give you an update on that.
Okay. And the short answer is I have no idea. My comment is that we've had two meetings about whether or not an LSB delegate can speak in one of those meetings. So if anyone else, whether anyone else, decides to show up, I think the issue of participation would be a separate issue. Since we had to have special permission for one of our own even to speak, I don't think someone who's not, part of this board, should be participating in the meeting. Whether or not they can be in the meeting, by virtue of being a director, I will have to get a ruling on that from someone else, and I will get back to you.
Okay, thank you. Dennis, that completes our report.
Okay. Any questions, comments for Mass, before we, have the one more community comment? All right. Caller ending in 065. I think that was you.
Yes, it is. Okay. Thank you for taking my call. This is Star Bowie from Washington, D.C. And I wanted primarily to talk about the relocation committee report. Committee, I was really somewhat surprised by the review of the places that you gave. There wasn't any place that was mentioned from northeast or southeast. And although gentrification is taking place across the city, the areas, you know, northeast and southeast, it's been, you know, at least relatively still African American, and I would think that some locations would be explored there. What I heard was mostly locations that are in the downtown business district with quite a cluster of places up in the Friendship Heights, Tenleytown area, which is, you know, a fairly affluent area. And I think, you know, it isn't a really good look, I don't think, for a progressive radio station. With regard to Jerry's report, I found it absolutely alarming that Jerry would take note of, and I don't want to pick on Jerry because obviously this was a joint decision with a lot of people, but how do you think that you can have the government, the D.C. government, which is progressive on some issues and can be defended, but a lot of its policies are very pro-development. There's a lot of dislike in the communities, African-American. I live in a mostly African-American community of Bowser and her policies, and herself involved in something where as a landlord, they don't have to pull the rug and evict you. They can just they can fail to keep up maintenance. They can do all kinds of things to jam you up if they don't like your conditions. And I think that one of the things that is missing in the whole discussion is the political context. If you're talking about the need to reach out to youth. I mean, right now, young people in this country are moving far to the left of older people. We know this. I mean, it's certainly manifest in all of the solidarity work that's being done with the Palestinians. And to leave them in a situation, people who will in the future be taking over the station, where they're hogtied by, you know, a landlord that is, it's the discrediting association. In either case, if you know, Reeve Center with the government or AU as a university, look at what has happened to presidents of Ivy League schools in recent months if they didn't toe the line of the corporate powers with regard to certain questions of imperialism. And it's a real it's just completely idiotic to get yourself tied up or to get the station, a progressive station, when there's global censorship, and to tie yourself down with those government associations just seems criminal to me. And I also like to challenge what Jerry said about the town hall has never been, it's always been about issues that were of interest to the community. Very often the town hall meetings for WPFW have addressed community concerns with how the station was functioning. And I don't think that kind of possibility, and I've been going to them for decades, that possibility of those kinds of discussions should not be ignored, including, you know, a demand for the accounting of what happened with the loss of the Festival Center. So thank you. Hello?
Yes. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I just want to say this because it has come up before in terms of the neighborhoods that have been mentioned in terms of relocation. There are three things that the committee started with, which one was space requirement, another was a cost requirement, and the third was a very large sort of map of areas throughout the city to be looked at. And the space and price requirements, and we were surprised, repeatedly, adequate affordable space did not come up in some of those areas that you mentioned and that people on the committee have mentioned. We do have some other ideas for trying to solicit other suggestions, so that we still have an opportunity to see if we can find some gems in some of those neighborhoods that did not come up in the real estate search. We are aware of that. That has been an issue of discussion. Just wanted to say that. Okay. Thank you. Now we are resuming the agenda at the point of, community outreach, and I know, Violetta, you have a lot of information for us regarding the town hall.
Yes, good evening. Our normal meetings are once on the first Tuesday, but in order to address the town hall, we met twice. So that was on the first Tuesday and then 2 weeks after that. Okay, so we've been working together. We work with station management. We got a PSA out. Katia worked with that. Jerry's been working with logistics and getting some things done on that end. And we heard tonight about the donation part and making it easier for people to contribute. So on our last meeting, present were committee members Martha Peterson, Arthur Hyland, Marsha Edwards, and Minerva Sanders, Sabu Hakeem, Gloria Turner, Donna Grimes, excuse was Irene, and we just focused on the town hall. So we also got a theme, got the agenda get together. So our theme is generations moving forward in unity. As has been discussed, it will be this Saturday on March 16th from 12 to 2:30 p.m. And we request that every LSB member that can attend does attend. And we're asking you also to get the message out to your networks to also help us to have a good attendance. Is at the New Bethany Baptist Church, and that address is 1300 10th Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. And, you know, we will be, the agenda is basically welcome and introductions. We will, you know, go over the purpose of the town hall, the importance of WPFW connecting with the listening community, and what WPFW is doing to fulfill its vision and attain greater sustainability. We anticipate the management report, and we have a section about youth engagement where we are going to get comments from the youth and talk about the impact of youth culture and what it has on the station for the future programming. We will get a programming director report and maybe some other staff reports. We're trying to tie that down. Then there will be a break and food will be provided. And we've been working with the Mass Committee and they talked about that. So that survey and a short discussion, I believe, will be handled. And then the board chair, the LSB board chair, will address the town hall, and we will have closing remarks from the retiring manager, Jerry, and a community comment. And that's about it. We heard in community comment about the upcoming retirement party, and we'll be able to focus on that more on for April 14th at our next meetings. And that's about it.
Okay. Questions? Everybody all straight on the town hall? Okay, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, Violetta?
Yes.
Listen, I was interested in talking to you and, you know, the appropriate members of the committee about, coming on my show Friday morning, because it's the day before the town hall. We can talk about that off air, but I just want to extend the invitation.
Okay.
Okay. As a promotional tool for the event. Okay.
Okay. Thanks, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You see my hand?
I see Verna and then I see Irene.
My turn?
Yes, Verna.
Okay. So thank you, Violetta, for that thorough and complete report. I found out more about what's going to happen at the town hall. It does sound like, I don't know, is there going to be anyone, how are you all going to handle controversial issues that might come up